Morena whanau. We have two readings this morning, and the first one is Jeremiah 29:4-14. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Next reading is Joel 2, from 21-24. Just wait for it to load. It is that one, isn't it, Andrew? Yep. 2:22. Okay. Maybe I should have used a physical Bible. That would have been a little bit trickier. Okay. Here we go. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. This is the word of the Lord.
Fantastic. Thank you, Charlotte. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would speak your word to us, that you would bring something of your transformational life into us, that you would breathe your life and your health and your well-being in us as we surrender to you. Amen. So here we are. We've got a couple of readings, slightly bizarre readings, but never mind. But let's look at the first one in Jeremiah 29. So the people of Israel, they were in exile. They were in Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, my father, he's 89, lovely man, good godly man. Everyone calls him Grandy. He hasn't always told the truth. So as a child, we always knew that Dad's middle name started with N. His first name is Brian. Last name is Carson, middle name is N. And for about 13 years, he said his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And for 13 years, I believed him. So it is, oh, Dad, what's your middle name? What's your middle name? Nebuchadnezzar. Every time. Didn't falter. I don't know how he could lie. He's such a godly man. I don't know how he lied to my face that his name was Nebuchadnezzar. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's Napier. Maybe he was embarrassed. I don't know. But Nebuchadnezzar, I can't say the word Nebuchadnezzar without thinking of the story of my dad. But here the people of Israel, they were in Babylon. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he was not a great king for them. He oppressed them. So often we find in scripture that the Israelites, they were in exile, weren't they? They were in exile, they were in wildernesses. They found so many issues with life. But here they were again, in exile. And what did the Lord say to them? While you're in exile that I've led you into, build houses, have families, grow gardens, all about things of future. And then he says, you know, after 70 years, I will take you. And I know I've got plans for you, plans for a hope and a future. And so often, you know, the people of Israel have found themselves in similar situations. You know, I'm reminded when the people of Israel were walking around the wilderness and they came to a place and they said to Moses, their great leader, and they said, look, we've got no food. We've got no water. What are you going to do about it? And Moses goes to God, why have you done this to me? They're complaining again. And what does God say? God says, speak to the rock. And there will be water out of that hard place. Interesting that, you know, they grumbled even though they had manna and they had quail. They got that. They wanted pomegranates. Delicacy, I'm heard. They wanted figs and olives and pomegranates. They didn't like the manna and the quail that sustained them for years miraculously. Interesting. And then Moses goes, you know, okay, I'll give you water, and whacks the rock. And God says, yeah, I'm going to give you water, but I actually said speak to it. Often we try so hard, don't we? Try to do it in our own efforts. So here we go. So often we find ourselves in places we don't really want to be. As a younger person, maybe as an older person as well, the social gatherings of this world are not my favourite places. I've got some friends who go, Carson, you're here. You've come out at night and there's people in the room. And it's not that I don't like people. I love hanging out with people and talking with people and all the rest of it. But these big social gatherings where there are many people in the room, it's just not my favourite place. It's not my preference. My preference would be at home by myself. I'm an introvert. I like being by myself. I like me. No one else does. I may as well. Thank you. It took a while to come through, but come on. But often we find ourselves in places that we don't have, that we don't like. We find ourselves in places where it's not our preference. We find ourselves in places that it's actually pretty hard work. And when you look over the last 2 and a bit years and we look at the global pandemic, and it's like there's so many things that have been challenged in our worlds. You know, it's been challenged individually. It's been challenged in our families and our livelihoods. It's been challenged in our way we do church. And it's interesting in the Joel reading where it says all the things that God's going to restore. Before that, there was a plague of locusts. And apparently the plague of locusts were quite common in those days. But in the sense, doing some research, it said that in a square foot, there would be 50 or 60,000 eggs laid by these locusts as they would fly in. So you multiply that by even just a small field, that's a lot of locusts. And then as they would grow through their stages of life, they would then just go and eat and they would strip everything bare. And that's often how we feel, isn't it? And in the Joel story, it talks about these four people. It talks about, excuse me, it talks about the drunkard. It talks about the virgin waiting for their bridegroom. It talks about the farmer. It talks about the priest. And just as I read through that, it just reminded me so often of all the different areas of our lives, that it's our individuals, it's our families, it's our livelihoods, it's our church life. It's all those things that get affected by significant crisis. And as we walk through life, you can guarantee that we're going to come across situations that are tricky. And we just happen to have been through one that's actually global. It's affected everyone. And you know, it's like the drunkard, you know, almost like the sinful ones, the innocent ones of the virgin, the ones who work hard like the farmers, the godly ones. It's affected everyone. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Well, actually, the famine comes on the just and the unjust as well, doesn't it? The difficulty, the crisis. And so we find ourselves so often in these situations. And sometimes they're not global pandemics. Sometimes they are smaller things. But they feel just as big. We come across situations that we find irritate us and we find it so difficult. Thank you. We come across situations that affect our family, our well-being, our identity. And so often we find ourselves in these situations and it affects us. Because, you know, we're all kind of a little bit broken, aren't we? We've all got things that we've had done to us or we've done or there's situations in our life and our jobs and our families. There's always situations that consider loss and pain and difficulty. For me, it is around the loss of much of my family. I had two brothers who were killed in a car accident when I was 14. I lost a sister when I was 20. She died of a brain tumor. Lost my mum at a young age. It's like there's always things that happen to us and it really affects us. And we find ourselves in situations that we don't quite know what to do. But what's God's word to us? God's word to us is, there is hope. I will restore the years that the locusts have stolen. So you can be assured that although God may not change it, you know, for the people who are in the story in Jeremiah, they had to wait 70 years. They had to wait for a generation before they saw the fruit of their prayers, before they saw the fruit of what God was doing. And sometimes we have to live in those situations of exile. We have to live in those situations of difficulty, but we're not to close down and hide. And sometimes I feel like in our nation, I feel like that as a nation, we're kind of getting further and further away from God. Does anyone else feel like that? So what do? Do we give up? Do we then close in and go, okay, it's just me and my little family. We'll just stay close as a church and that's as good as it can be. But our encouragement in Jeremiah is that we continue to live life and kind of live it to the full. So that we can be the people of God in that space. Because we are the ones who bring the hope of Christ into our exile. We are the ones who speak the words to the rock. We are the ones who God uses. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like that person. I don't feel like the strong Moses. I don't feel like the person who can go, yes, it's going to be all right in the end. Don't worry. Sometimes I feel the despair of it. But we need to tell ourselves the truth. And what is the truth? God is in control. No matter how I feel, no matter what difficulty I'm walking through, he is in control. So what do? Every morning when we wake up, we say, God, I trust you. I trust that my hope is in you. Because there's no hope in anyone else. And I don't mean to, you know, sound depressing, because actually it's not. Our hope in God is a real hope. And he enables us to do. You know, we've talked through the series of our prayer. Well, I kind of added an R to the end. You know, we've had pause, we've had rejoice, we've had ask, we've had yield. And as we yield, we got the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And then last week we talked around, as we receive the Holy Spirit, allows us to respond out of a sense of love. Not just a love for one another, but a sense of love for the last, the least, and the lost. And so the third R I add to the end is a sense of restoration. That God's promise of restoration. And you know what? Restoration doesn't always look like what we want it to. I've got a friend, Pete. We'll call him Pete. It's because his name's Pete. What he loves doing is he buys old houses and he restores them. So Elaine and I went to see him and his wife, and they were building a, they'd just bought this old place, and we walked, it looked like a bomb site. There was like stuff everywhere as they'd ripped walls down and taken all the jib off. And do I sound like a builder? I know these terms. You know, and all the skirting, what other building names do I know? Anyway, or everything was kind of just in a pile, and there was stuff everywhere and bricks outside and taking chimneys down. There was just a mess. And I'm going, better him than me, because I wouldn't know how to put it back together again. But he didn't restore it to how it looked. He restored it to a house that was going to be good for now and for the future. So he said, oh, we're going to take that out because that's way too small a kitchen. You know, we need bigger kitchens these ways, and we've got a bathroom over here. Well, that's tiny. In the old days, you used to have bathrooms. You had to go in really quietly and backwards because that was the only way you could fit in. Sometimes they were outside as well. Anyway, we won't go there. But he said, so we're going to enlarge that bathroom a bit, and there's going to be a shower here. And he could see it all in his head. So he was bringing a restoration project, but it wasn't for the past to take it back to what it looked like. He was restoring something into the future. And doesn't that sound like God to you? That God restores us, but he doesn't restore us to go back. So he didn't take the people of Israel when they were complaining to Moses about no food, no water, no everything. All they could see was a rock. He didn't say, okay, let's go back to Egypt because you seemed happier then. Go back to your garlic and your onions. No, he said, I've got a better plan. There is a promised land. There is a land of flowing with milk and honey. There is a land, there's a place for you that is great. And you can't see it now because you're in the midst of all of this. But actually, I have a plan. So I guess I wanted to encourage us this morning to say we may feel like there are a whole lot of things pushing back at us. But God has a plan. It's not time for us to shrink down, but it's a time for us to grow. You know, as a young fellow, I used to say, God, give me wisdom. I'd really like to be a man of wisdom. Would you give me wisdom? And you know how I got wisdom? Having to deal with experiences that weren't actually that easy. And hopefully I've got a little bit. But often it's out of the difficult, it's out of the painful, it's out of our brokenness that we learn. And what's the most important thing we learn? We learn to follow him. We learn to trust him in every situation. Hiya, dude, how are ya? And that's our call. Our call is, it's got a way on us. New band member, Jeremy. Well, that's our call. And I just want to finish on two pictures that as I've been praying with others and myself, just as in my prayer and life, a couple of pictures that I just want to encourage us with. One of them was, I was praying with Alistair on Thursday, and Alistair got a picture of us sitting on a cushion, nice, comfortable cushion. And then he said the cushion kind of turned. He said the cushion was still there, and it turned, and it felt slightly uncomfortable, but actually as we moved, the cushion came with us. And I just think that's such a God thing. We love our comfort, don't we? And sometimes God allows us to feel uncomfortable, but he says, I'm still there. Psalm 23, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's a sense that we might feel slightly tilted. We might feel slightly unsettled in whatever we're doing, in our job situation, our family situation, our church situation. But God's promise for us is of restoration. God's promise for us is, I am with you. So the other picture, I was working in my workshop in our place 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I walked outside and I heard lambs bleating. And I thought, oh, the neighbours have got lambs really early. It's going to be terrible. And I looked out in our paddock and I saw our lambs. And God just dropped a little phrase into my head. New life, out of season. New life, out of season. And I want to encourage us this morning, and I don't think it's just for a one morning thing. You may hear me say this occasionally over the next period of time because I feel like God wants to really settle something in us. That we don't need to worry about the season we feel like we're in. God is able to bring new life because he's the creator of all things. So new life, out of season. And some of the things we need to do is we need to expect that God will bring a level of restoration and life to us, even when all we see is a rock. And it doesn't mean we have to hit the rock and strive harder and do more and just work harder. He said to Moses, speak to the rock. It's about our relationship with him. It's about prayer. We need to continue on our journey of praying together. We need to continue on our journey of allowing God into our hard places. You're allowed to acknowledge those things, but then give them to God. Turn to him. Allow him to fill you, to give you the power to walk through these things so that we know what it is to see the restoration of God in our midst. Heavenly Father, I ask, would you put this in my soul? Would you give me eyes to see the hope that you have? Would you give me eyes to see your restoration? Would you give me eyes to see the water out of the rock? Lord, in our hard places, would you free us to trust you? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that as we finish in worship, if there's something that you feel like God has said, this is my hard space and I just want to acknowledge it with somebody else, can I encourage you to do that? We'll be up the front here if you'd like to come and do it to one of us or the person you came with, someone you trust. You're allowed to acknowledge your pain. And I feel like what God wants to do, he wants to free us from the power of our pain and the power of the things that control us and manipulate us. And part of that, the first thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge it. And then we will pray that God will come and give you eyes to see a way through, that he will come and bring restoration to your soul. So if that's you, please feel free to get someone to pray with you, stand with you as we worship or after the service. Thanks, Jeremy.